Good evening.
Good evening.
We've been looking at 1 Peter. We'll continue looking at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Last week we looked at something that most people don't like to hear. Submission. Our God has asked us to be submissive to human authority. Today, or this evening, we'll be looking at another submission that God has called us to. Submission in the family. A strange situation exists in our society. We hear more about sex and more about marriage, I think, than ever before in history. But marital problems and divorce are still in our society. Obviously, something is wrong. It is not sufficient to say that if God were in the family, there wouldn't be problems. Look within Christian ranks, and you see even here that divorce and marital problems run rampant. Marriage is something that must be worked at. Marriage is something that both partners must want if it is to be successful. And when one marriage partner is not a Christian, it just makes it even harder work. Peter addressed in this section of Scripture, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, he addressed men and women who are Christian but have a partner that is not a Christian. And Peter will talk to this subject, admonishing us and telling us what we need to do as a Christian partner in this situation. But no matter what your marital status might be, the words of Peter will help us and are essential for a happy and successful marriage. As we noticed last week, submission is not in the word vocabulary of many people, particularly in American society and Western society. That word submission just goes against the great. Nobody wants to be submissive in a society where I come first. And our society is such a society. We noticed this morning the Stoics. The Stoics didn't want commitment. They didn't want the possibility of receiving pain. And if you make a commitment in a partnership, there can be pain. If that partnership is marriage or in business. But commitment is necessary for a marriage to work properly. The Stoics didn't want to have pain or suffering, so they were not ready to make commitments. Their apathy showed through. But apathy in a marriage or any partnership will destroy a marriage. Once again, the example that Peter uses for submission in the family is Jesus Christ. Jesus submitted himself to God. And then he obeyed his Father in all points, including a death upon the cross. First, we need to learn to be submissive to Christ and his example. If we want our children to grow up being good citizens, where does good citizens start in the life of our children? In the parents. If the parents are not good citizens, how can we expect the children to grow up good citizens? But the best example of all is in Jesus Christ. He has set the role model. He has given the example, and he has asked us to follow this example. And Christ submitted himself to God the Father. Christ put others first. He put humans first. Can you imagine that? God putting humans first. He submitted himself to mankind that he might save mankind. So when we are looking for role models and examples, we need to look at Jesus, not within the world. If a Christian couple pays more attention to families on the television than to examples in the Bible, I dare say their marriage will not succeed. Movie stars are bad examples. Shows put out by Hollywood are bad examples. But if both partners will imitate Jesus, then there will be a chance at joy and success within a marriage. God put himself first. God put others first with the thought of setting an example to couples. If you put your partner first, there will be more chance of success and happiness in the marriage and in your relationship with anyone. Husbands and wives must learn from Jesus Christ if we want peace in the family. In Jesus, we see a beautiful blending of strength and tenderness. And husbands, this is our example, strength and tenderness of Jesus. It's amazing. Peter pointed out to women, Sarah is a role model. In that chapter 11 of Hebrews, very few women are listed, but Sarah was listed as an example, and Peter uses her as an example for Christian women in a family where the mate was not a Christian. Sarah was not perfect. You can read her story. But Sarah was a good helpmeet to Abraham. Sarah called Abraham Lord. To be good husbands and wives, in the example of Christ, we must first submit ourselves to him and then to each other. We need commitment from both partners. The marriage covenant began where? The Garden of Eden. So a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one body. Here we see that God began marriage. Woman was created that she might be a partner, a helpmeet to a man. But during the interval of time between Eden and the world of Jesus, this holy institution suffered great abuse. To the time of Jesus, women were considered property of the man, that within a Jewish community. And if you can imagine, the relationship was even worse in the Gentile world, where women had none or very few rights. At least in the Old Testament, women had rights, had protection under the law. But Jesus gave the relationship between man and woman a special meaning. He brought back what God had established at the beginning. He made it holy, and he compared the relationship between man and woman to that relationship that exists between himself and the church. And men, what did Jesus do for the church? He died for the church. Consider that. Consider that. But Jesus brought back the holiness that was in marriage at the beginning. Christ has caused us to change our concepts of marriage. At the time of Christ, I just mentioned it, there was not a good concept. For the Jewish man, that was his property. For Gentile men, the woman had no rights. The man could do what he wanted. The woman was considered merely a mistress and a childbearer. Not much more. But Jesus changed this concept with his word. He made a difference. The love and kindness and peace that we would like to associate today in marriage came because Jesus taught us differently about marriage relationships. And the words of Peter's letter probably were a shock to the Jews and Gentiles who read it. Can you imagine believing your wife is property? And Peter, the apostle of Jesus, came and said, she is your partner. You must treat her with love and respect to the point that you would be willing to die for your wife. That was not a concept in the Jewish or the Gentile world that someone would do for their wife. So Jesus changed our concept of marriage. The man was no longer to be a tyrant. He was no longer to be abusive. But he was to bring in self-sacrifice for the welfare of his wife and for his family. So first, if we want a good marriage, if we want a good partnership, Christ must be first. We must submit ourselves to him. There is no other way. Secondly, we must learn to submit to one another. Marriage is not easy, is it, Ruth? I'm sure you and Phil, who have been married much, much longer than I have made compromises throughout your marriage. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted. He said, you need to learn to put the other first. Learn, if you always put Zona first, I can imagine she'd treat you like a king. She probably already does. You know, yes, she does. But try that out. Treat your partner as if there's nothing better in the world and see what that partner will do for you. Don't just act, though. You have to mean it. And Jesus said, this is what God wants. That you submit yourself first to him and then to your partner. It's kind of funny. Jesus, who improved marriage, improved the thinking of marriage, but with the coming of the Christian religion, he also brought a sharp division within families. Contradictory, you think? Listen to what Jesus says. This is Matthew 10, 34 through 37. Don't think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come so that a son will be against his father, a daughter will be against her mother, a daughter-in-law will be against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be members of his own family. Those who love their father or mother more than they love me are not worthy to be my followers. Those who love their son or daughter more than they love me are not worthy to be my followers. When Christianity came, you were either Jewish or Gentile. If one partner became a Christian, what would the other partner who didn't become a Christian be? An enemy of Christ. And so a conflict had arisen. Not because Jesus wanted it, but because Jesus understood this principle. What could happen when that possibility opened up? And so he warned people about it. He warned his disciples that this would come. And when we make this heart-rending choice to Jesus, our partners will be threatened. Even if there is no true threat there, our partner is not always aware of that. And that is why he tells these wives. And we need to remember, he is writing to men and women who have become Christian, their partners are not. And he tells this Christian woman, yield yourself to your husband. So he's telling a Christian wife, yield yourself to your husband. Treat him with respect and love. Treat him as Lord. And there's reasons behind doing that. In the first century, if a man became a Christian and his wife didn't, could the wife do anything? Did she have a choice? It was easier for the man. But what would happen if the woman became a Christian? And her husband was not a Christian. She had problems. He could put her out. He could beat her. And in the Gentile world, he could kill his wife and not have to worry about being put in jail or killed himself. Now, a Jew would have had to worry about it, but a Gentile world not. Jesus realized, or Peter realized, that these couples, or that these women, needed more advice than a man. And so he addresses women, though these words go exactly for the man who has a non-Christian wife. He says, you need to learn to be submissive. The women for self-preservation in a world that did not recognize women's rights. Learn to be submissive. Put his needs first. Now that did not mean to ignore the laws of God, not to go to church, not to disobey God. But in all other respects, treat him as king and lord of your life. Here is the inspired counsel that Peter gave. He said, in the same way, you wives should yield to your husband. In the same way, he's talking about how Jesus submitted to God even unto death. How Jesus was willing to die for the church. In this way, he said, yield yourselves to your husbands. Then if some husbands do not obey God's teaching, they will be persuaded to believe without anyone saying a word to them. They will be persuaded by the way their wives live. Your husbands will see the pure lives you live with your respect for God. Now notice what he didn't say. He did not say that wives should leave their husbands. He did not say that wives should argue and nag their husbands about Christianity. He did not say that women should take the authority away from the man. He said she should yield to that husband. Let's read Paul. Paul helps us a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 7:13 through 16. And if a Christian woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is happy to live with her, she must not divorce him. The husband who is not a believer is made holy through his believing wife. And the wife who is not a believer is made holy through her believing husband. If this were not true, your children would not be clean, but now your children are holy. But if those who are not believers decide to leave, let them leave. When this happens, the Christian man or woman is free. But God called us to live in peace. Wife, you don't know. Maybe you will save your husband. And husband, you don't know. Maybe you will save your wife. So we can see that Peter also is talking about husbands or wives who have unbelieving mates. This goes for both man and for woman. Men, you need to yield to your wives for the peace. That doesn't mean put down your Christian standards or do what God has forbidden, but it does mean that we need to learn to put our mates first and ourselves and our own needs last. That's what I mean. Most of the world does not like the word submission because nobody wants to submit to anybody else. So how can a Christian woman save her husband who is not a Christian? Peter says, yield to him. In this situation, we are told the need to be a good wife. For this is the way she is teaching her husband what it's like to be a Christian. If she all of a sudden starts nagging and pushing for him to become a Christian, it will turn him off. But if in submission she shows her love and respect to her husband while keeping the standard of God, this will help to bring the husband or the wife around to that point of view. It's what he sees, not what he hears, that makes a difference. Secondly, let her exhibit purity in her behavior. Let her life be pure and above reproach, both in relation to her husband as well as everybody else. And men, that goes likewise for you. I know of someone, a Christian woman, who thought she had a Christian man, to find out that her husband had been playing around on her. That's not any fun. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, that was my little sister that had that problem. But she kept her life pure. She continued to love and treat him with respect, even though the respect was not being returned. Today, he's going to church again. We'll have to see what happens, Charlie, but maybe her example has done good. But let her exhibit purity in her behavior. Don't return tit for tat, I think what we say. Thirdly, let her behavior exhibit proper reverence toward her husband. Likewise, men, proper reverence to your wife. She should avoid giving any unnecessary offense. I didn't write this, I got this out of a book. I liked it though. The silent eloquence of a godly life will be more powerful for her case than argument and controversy. Needless to say, men, but a Christian man can win his wife likewise. In quiet reverence to God and to her, with respect and love. In a Christian home, we must learn to minister to one another. Husbands, put your wives first. Wives, put your husbands first. And see what happens when you live according to the will of God. A Christian husband must minister to his wife and help to beautify her before the Lord. Now, I say this because of this verse. Listen to this. Ephesians 5, 25 through 30. Ephesians 5, 25 to 30. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it to make it belong to God. Christ used the word to make the church clean by washing it with water. He died so that he could give the church to himself like a bride in all her beauty. He died so that the church could be pure and without fault, with no evil or sin or any other wrong thing in it. In the same way, husbands, you should love your wives as you love your own body. The man who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hates his own body, but feeds and takes care of it. And that is what Christ does for the church, because we are part of his body. But why did Christ do all that? It was to make his bride beautiful for God. And so we too, in respecting our wives and treating them as if they are better than us, we make them beautiful before God. We become one. A Christian wife must learn to encourage her husband and to help him grow in the Lord. Likewise, husbands, your wives. Parents and children should share burdens and blessings to maintain an atmosphere of spiritual excitement in the home and of growth. If there are unsaved in our homes, they will be won to Christ more by what they see than by what they hear. It's true. A Christian wife with an unsaved husband might think that she must imitate the world if she wants to keep her husband. But the opposite is true. Listen to Peter in verses 3 through 6 in 1 Peter 3. It is not fancy hair, gold jewelry, or fine clothes that should make you beautiful. No, your beauty should come from within you, the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that will never be destroyed and is very precious to God. In the same way, the holy woman who lived long ago and followed God made themselves beautiful, yielding to their own husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, her husband, and called him master. And you women are true children of Sarah if you do the same things. What is right and are not afraid. Glamour is artificial. I have seen women who are not that good looking make themselves beautiful with makeup and earrings and fancy hairdos, and you think, is that the same person? Glamour can make you beautiful on the outside. But God said true beauty is from inside. Men, that goes for you too. I've seen men spend exactly as much money on making themselves beautiful as women. Sometimes maybe even more, because we need more work. But true beauty comes from the inside and is a present from God. A Christian man, or a woman for that matter, who cultivates the beauty of their inner person will not have to depend upon cheap beauty, glamour from the outside. God is not concerned about prices that we spend, but about values of the heart. And that's what we were digging for in DBS, values of the heart. Of course, this does not mean that a wife or a man should neglect themselves. That's the worst thing for a marriage, when one partner neglects themselves and they totally lose their outside beauty. It simply means that one should not major on being and staying in fashion. Yes, one can stay in fashion. One can make themselves pretty. But that is not the main thing that we are working at. Her priority is not keeping up with the Joneses, but in being beautiful inwardly for her husband, and likewise husbands for their wives. A Christian woman who makes herself beautiful to her husband is developing a gentle and quiet spirit that will help her husband to treat her with respect and love, and likewise for the husband. She will have proved her love for him in the most meaningful way possible, with a quiet spirit. But Peter does not only talk to wives. He talks to husbands. In verse 7, he says, in the same way, you husbands should live with your wives in an understanding way. Once again, he's talking about husbands who are married to non-Christians, but the principles apply if both partners are Christians. In the same way, you husbands should live with your wives in an understanding way, since they are weaker than you. But show them respect, because God gives them the same blessings he gives you, the grace that gives true life. Do this so that nothing will stop your prayers. Men, in all fairness, the modern feminist movement is more than likely caused by inconsiderate, intolerant men who did not treat their wives and their mothers and their sisters with the respect that God ordained. Husbands were not to be tyrants. They were not to be abusive. And abusive can be both physical and mental. Men, if you do that, you are not living in the spirit of Christ, who condemned that very thing. The Bible does not give men the right to be tyrants or abusive. Both husbands and wives are partners in an arrangement created by God. The woman is considered weaker only in physical strength, not in intellect and not spiritually. counting her to be precious and realizing that she needs our protection and care. The husband will treat his wife with a special respect and a special love and consideration. Paul said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If a marriage is the spiritual relationship God wants it to be, then partners will see themselves as heirs of God, and make every effort to treat each other right, properly, and to help each other to attain eternal life. Just as Jesus treated his church. Finally, Peter reminds the Christian husband that he will hinder his attempts at prayer if he neglects to show his wife the love and consideration and respect that heaven expects him to demonstrate. What a thought this is for every male member of the body of Christ to remember. Your prayers will be hindered if you don't treat your wife correctly. The home is under heavy pressure today. In the first century, homes were divided. But this is true in the 21st century as well. Many more have no spiritual allegiance whatever. Husbands are often inconsiderate, and wives resist their mates, the leadership that God had given him. God had ordained. We need to get back to God's plan for the marriage. Then our families will be blessed. This can only be done when we first submit ourselves to God and then submit ourselves to our mates. Peter just didn't write women when he said be submissive. He's writing to the men as well. Be submissive to the needs of your wife. Put her first. Wives, put him first, and God will bless the marriage. God is calling us back to the model that he established in Eden. Do you want a marriage that is blessed by God, then follow the pattern that God has given. God has created us. He created marriage. He knows what is best. Do we believe him? He has called us back, and he is calling us to come home. Have you made a decision for Jesus? Are you serving him as Lord? Have you washed away your sins in baptism? Have you put on Christ? Maybe you've left and need to come back to him. Jesus is calling. He's calling us to salvation, and he's calling us tonight. Will you not come as we stand and sing?